Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the 29th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd. My co-host today is...
I'm Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler.
And we are really excited about our guest this week, Shannon Miller. Shannon Miller is the district teacher librarian at Van Meter Community School in Iowa. She's an educational consultant for Mackin Educational Resources. And in 2013 alone, she was named one of the faces of innovation from Broadband for America, one of the 50 featured in the 2013 Center for Digital Education Top 40 Innovators in Education. And she's also one of the featured connected educators with the Connected Educator Projects, partnered with the United States Department of Education. Thanks, Shannon, for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thanks for the nice introduction, too.
Well, we were really excited to have you here. You are our first librarian perspective, and so we are really excited to hear about some of the cool stuff you're doing.
That's great. You should have more librarians on. So
I know. You're just the start of the avalanche coming.
Good.
Well, you know, we usually just start out with just having our guests just give a little bit of background about themselves and how they ended up in education. So how did you end up in education?
Well, I went to college to be an artist first, and I always loved like playing school and working with little kids and, you know, helping others. But I first thought that I was going to, like, I really wanted to work for Hallmark. That was my dream job, or be an interior designer or something. And so I went to Iowa State, went to art school, and then a few years later ended up going to UNI, and I went and got, I have a design degree and an elementary ed degree. And then I got married and had kids right away and stayed home for 13 years. And so this is my first, like, grown-up job. I've had this job for 7 years, and when I first actually applied for the art job at Van Meter, and I didn't get it, and then I applied for a fifth grade job, and I didn't get it, and which I'm glad now, and then this job came open, and I had worked in the library in college, and I love technology. I was a member of the community, so I really liked the idea of working with the whole school, and so I took a big leap of faith and got my master's and took the job, and now 7 years later. So I love it. It fits all those, like, different things, the teaching and the art and the technology. It kind of puts those all together. So
very cool. So in years past, kind of the idea of a librarian was, you know, the old lady who checks out books for you at the counter. But obviously you do much more than that. So what do you see the job as a librarian in schools today?
Well, I never sit down behind the counter, and I really don't even wish we had a counter. We really kind of don't. But I think that, I mean, I'm constantly on the go. I always joke that I feel like the cruise director, you know, like taking care of everything and making sure everybody needs what they need. And it's not just during the school day, you know, it's at nighttime or it's in the morning. I mean, you guys know what time I tweet and stuff at nighttime sometimes, you know, working on things, but it's, you're there all the time 24/7 for your school community, which I think is where librarians need to be. And if it's not, you know, helping them with books and literacy, it's technology, and we're becoming so embedded in the curriculum across the board. A lot of our job is being an expert too in everybody's curriculum, especially with the Common Core and all the things that we need to teach to. I'm on a new committee for the state, and we are embedding now competency-based education into Iowa, and so our school is one of 10 that have been selected to be part of this, you know, collaborative that is working on this, and so, you know, becoming just that person who is really an expert on everything going on in the school.
So you're our third Iowan on our show. We've got 29 episodes now. You're the third Iowan. I think Iowa is represented more than any other state. Maybe Texas,
so
but yeah.
Who are the other Iowans?
Jimmy Casas, and then Angela Mayers has been on as well. So yeah.
Two great Iowa people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two of my dear friends.
Something good in the water over there.
Good. Yeah.
You guys just need to come visit. So
yeah, I've got
my extended family lives in Iowa. I was telling Jimmy that. So really? We used to go there every summer when I was a kid.
Where do they live?
I don't remember.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's my grandma's sister. So we went when my great grandma was still alive. We would go up there during the summer to visit them.
Yeah. Very cool.
I spent my summers up there as well. My parents are both Iowans, so they're from a little town called Webster City, which is in the western, kind of northwestern part. And,
very cool.
Yeah, many many summers in the cornfields.
Great people here in Iowa.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
So, Shannon, Chris and I follow a lot of what you do online, and I have to say, you know, the students that you work with, you guys, y'all do some of the most incredible things that I have ever seen outside of a classroom. So, thinking about some of the stuff that you've done recently, what's one of your more favorite things that you've done with the students recently?
Probably the project that I did with the AR app was cool. The layer, that was really super fun. It took me a long time to understand how to just how to use it and how to make it work, which was challenging for me. I don't know why I couldn't wrap my head around it altogether. But then to think of the creative way to use the ebooks, because we have so our collections are changing so much too as libraries and schools, and so to find cool ways to use ebooks, not just to have it be something that they look at, was exciting also. And then we extended that activity, and this week and last week we've been using Flipgrid for them to, have you guys seen that? It's awesome. And so it's like you have this, like, basically it's like a grid that goes like in a line, and so there's like, if you went to the website, you would see like little pictures lined up kind of in a row. Well, each one of those little pictures is actually a video. And so you start a Flipgrid, you start, and you all have like a unique URL, and you can have a question. And so, like for my second graders who did the AR project, I just put the link onto Symbaloo, and they opened it up, and they clicked on it, they answered the question, like they critiqued their favorite Fractured Fairy Tale book that we have this new set, and then they can see all the videos. It's awesome.
Second graders make their own videos?
Yeah, the little second graders made some videos, and they had no problem. I loved it, too. I was telling somebody this at the meeting today that we don't have any stationary labs, like, in our school, and all of the laptops in the elementary, well, all of our kids have laptops, and they're on carts in the elementary, and so it's fun because they go and sneak and find their own corner, and then it's a great tool to use because they can make their own video, and that's going to be really neat. So those are two things that I have really loved to learn about and use in the last couple weeks.
So do classes schedule to come to the library at your school, or do you just say, hey, I'm doing this if you want to come check it out, or how does that work?
Both. I have a fixed schedule, and so I have a fixed schedule with K through fifth grade, and I see the kids on a four-day rotation for 65 minutes. At a time. And so that's more time than I've ever had with the kids. And then the rest of the time is flexible. So tomorrow I'm going to work with two of the grade levels when I'm not teaching in the afternoon and the morning. And you know, that part is collaborative. But I'm actually a fan of fixed scheduling, and I'm a fan of flexible. But I think that with fixed, it serves my needs because I make sure that I see the kids. It's really important to me that I get to see the kids every week, and so it works for us, you know. And we have such a small school where we have 600 kids K-12 in one building in our that's our district. Wow. And so we have, you know, 300 kids basically in elementary, and so my schedule being that way, there's only usually two sections, so that gives the teachers a common planning time too, which is nice because then we can bring them together. Tomorrow we're actually Skyping with Lauren Long, and he's going to read us the new Otis book. Okay. And so we can then bring the kids together so they can all hear it. So things like that work out really good for all the extra stuff that we do when it's Skyping, or, you know, bringing in experts via a Google Hangout or doing something, you know, collaborative. So it works good for us.
Chris, why don't we skip to that next question real quick, and you go ahead and ask that one since we're tying right into that.
The blogging one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
Skyping.
Oh, sorry, I missed the last one. Okay, sorry about that. So you do a lot of Skypes and Google Hangouts with guests. Why do you choose that avenue to connect with your students?
I think that, well, in our district, you know, being in Iowa and we can now be connected, you know, via Google Hangout or Skype, it works out well for us because we wouldn't bring all these authors to our school. Number one, to have an author visit, you know, can get expensive having them travel and, mm-hmm. and just, you know, figuring out the logistics of that. And it works out just really, really well for everybody's, I think, schedule. Google Hangouts now, we can record them and share them with other kids or other classrooms and bring in other people from around the country. And so it doesn't just have to be us anymore inside these four walls. So it works out perfect. And we do it a lot.
I noticed from the pictures you post.
Like, it's crazy sometimes. Last week was crazy, and but it's so fun. And, you know, and people are, they're flexible and forgiving, you know, when things don't, you just kind of roll with it, and we don't have any big fancy setup. I'm sure you've seen on my blog that, you know, it's usually my computer, and we're actually renovating our school, and so our new library space will have a camera, and it will be a lot different, you know, okay. But it works for us, you know, yeah. Because I can go anywhere with my computer and Skype, but the kids are very used to that. And we start that when they're in kindergarten, and even our preschoolers in the building, they were all set to go this year on that first week that we started Skyping because they had Skyped with Mercer Mayer in preschool. So it's just part of what we do, you know, part of
the... Well, I love that. The pictures you post and all that are pictures like of your kids Skyping just in front of a laptop because, yeah. You know, there are quite a few schools that don't have the extensive technology that some other schools have, and they feel like they can't do some of the cool stuff. And so I think it's good to see that you show all this stuff that you're doing, even though you may not have a great projector in the room or these other things, yeah. And you can still provide those experiences for the students.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's really important. And I really, that's one thing I like is because, you know, it shows that it doesn't have to be perfect. And I think that when you set it up and you expect it to be perfect, that you're putting all these expectations too on something that should just be really natural. And so the kids are, they like that. That's what they're used to. Anybody can do it. When people say, I don't have a camera or I don't have, you know, the equipment I need, I'm always like, yeah, you can make it work.
Do you find that the authors that you guys Skype with, that they're pretty accessible and they're responsive to you guys and want to do this with the students?
Definitely. And, you know, I think that because I'm connected on Twitter and the same with Facebook too, I have a lot of, you know, illustrators and authors and experts, friends on Facebook also, but just, you know, asking. And I had recently... Skyped with somebody who is a pretty famous author and illustrator, never has been asked before. Mercer Mayer, he had never been asked before to Skype.
Really? I mean,
it happens a lot, and Mercer loved it. The author last week absolutely loved it, you know, and you just have to ask and put it out there, and, you know, the worst they can say is that they're busy and plan it another time. But yeah. It's, you know, and it doesn't have to be something too, like, intimidating to them. Because if they've never done it before, you know, we practice just by connecting. And it can be a really simple, as much as they want simple or something if we have it planned. We've had all kinds of, you know, Skypes. Have you guys seen the tweets that I've done with my friend Mark in Australia? And he's been teaching about his website called Yaki.
Yeah, I haven't seen those.
You have to check it out. I'm going to write about it. Hopefully by tomorrow I'll post something. But Mark developed this website called Yaki, and he's been teaching our fifth graders how to use it at first, but now doing lessons with them. And so yesterday they did this like great creative writing lesson, and it's fun because here he is teaching, and I actually, when he was teaching, I left my associate with him teaching, and I had to run down and do some collaborating with a third grade classroom and came back, and he was just teaching the kids like from Australia. They're sitting in the chair talking to him and
that's cool.
Doing their thing. And it told, I mean, it's, how cool is that? But it's just, when you walk in there, it's just an extension of their natural classroom. They're just
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just I hear you talk and I've heard you talk before, and I'm just like imagining the possibilities that a library holds that's so outside of our traditional definition of what a librarian and a library is existing for.
Yeah, definitely. And really the sky is the limit. Whatever you can, think of, it's like, I just ask. I mean, I am constantly asking and thinking of those connections. And, being in a small community too, we have, not a lot of, diversity for one thing, which somebody once told me, well, you brought a pig to your library, so you have diversity that we might not have in Chicago. But, we have the resources that we have, the different kind of classes, like in the high school, we don't have, 20 different art classes to choose from. We are, we're a small school that we have one, art teacher. And so it's cool that way because we can bring these experiences to our kids that they might not have otherwise. Mm-hmm. And we can bring a lot to other people being where we're at too, which is neat.
Now, you're also quite the blogger. Have you always loved writing?
I have loved writing. I became a better writer after I got, which sounds nutty because I hated it at the time, but when I wrote my thesis, I became a much better writer. And I love it. It's just kind of my creative outlet, I think. I really like to write.
You're also connected through social media. You have you're a connected educator. When did you choose to take that leap and, start connecting with other people online?
Probably, let's see, this is our fifth year for our one-to-one. So it would have been 5 years ago. And it was my principal at the time, Darren Durflinger, who's now our superintendent, and our superintendent at the time, John Carver. Us three, we decided to kind of get on together, and we were like, let's find out what this Twitter thing is all about. And we have a hashtag for our school, hashtag Van Meter, and we just started tweeting and connecting. And within a couple months, we were invited to Nashville to speak, and we were connecting with a school in Wisconsin, connecting our classrooms, and it just took off from there. And I'm glad that, we did, but it was fun at first, to have people in my school who, not knowing really anybody on Twitter or in other places at the time, having them there. I think that's kind of nice when you start out to have people around you, maybe in your own place. So it's been fun to get connected with them and see what it does for the school, and now, to get connected with all of you guys.
Cool. Well, and you also speak at quite a few conferences and events, and I know you were just in Texas recently.
I know.
have you ever had any kind of fear of public speaking, or has that always been natural to you?
No, I hate, this is really super weird, but I, to take a speech class would completely freak me out. My daughter just took speech, a year ago for one of her college classes, and I was like, I would not like this. But I'm talking about, the things that I'm passionate about, mm-hmm. So it's easy for me to do that, because right. I'm just talking about what we're doing. And so it's kind of, my parents can't believe that I love that, because I never, was always really outgoing, but not to get up in front of people.
Right.
Even, church or anything. I wouldn't like that, but it just feels, it's, I'm talking about the kids, that's the big thing, and talking about being creative and collaborative, and so it makes it easy. I get nervous, though. I always get nervous.
I still do, too, every single time. I freak out.
I know, and I just am, I think that if you didn't get nervous, then maybe it wouldn't be good, but it's funny. Sometimes I'm a little too, I become, not worried, but you just kind of get kind of quiet, and then it just goes great, every time. But
yeah.
People are so nice too when you go to places or when you're at a conference. They want to be there usually listening, right. So it's fun.
Right. There, I think for the most part, people are rooting for you, right? I mean, yes. That's I think, and you feed off of that, and you can tell that that's happening. So I think that's probably
yeah. True. Yeah. Thank goodness. I know. I can't wait to hear you speak sometime.
Yeah, when are we ever going to meet up? We have to meet up sometime.
I know. Yes, because you've been doing that too, which is awesome.
It's been
Todd, you're speaking at TCA, right? I mean at ISTE next year, right?
Yeah, I'm on a panel. Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing a panel there.
Are you speaking at ISTE, Shannon?
No, because ISTE is the same time as ALA this year.
Oh. Somebody had poor planning there.
And it's gonna affect a few people, and so but it's too bad because usually it's back to back. Like we go, like last year we went from ISTE to ALA, but this time it's exactly the same time. Mm. And so I'm on the AASL Best Websites Committee, and on a couple other commitments for ALA and AASL. So I know that stinks.
Yeah.
Can't do it all.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Looks like you also served as the advocacy chair on the Iowa Association of School Librarians and also the Iowa Center for the Book Advisory Council as a public school students and libraries representative. Just can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I think that especially like our state association, we have like awesome teacher librarians in Iowa. Just great group of people and lots of support from our administrators and from our schools. And our group has grown to be just real great voices. We have our own hashtag on Twitter. It's hashtag IowaTL, and a Facebook page and, you know, other things like Pinterest and a blog and things like that. I'm just so proud of people, you know, even in the last, you know, 7 years where we have went to just by connecting with others. I think that advocacy piece is so important. And so that was a lot of that work that I did in the beginning was, and I was just starting out too, you know, getting connected. We had tried for a few years to speak at our School Administrators of Iowa conference and never got accepted to speak. And then last year we spoke for the first time with our administrators. There's three of us. And, you know, just even stuff like that, you know, getting the word out to all administrators of the importance of teacher librarians and keeping them in our schools. And so that's been a really big thing for me, I think, is that administrative connection, you know, how we can help get support for our teacher librarians. A lot of teacher librarians come to our school. We had two this week come and visit and spend time. So that was a lot of that piece, too, you know, just getting connected that way with all the teacher librarians in Iowa. So it's fun. And our organization's gotten so strong that there's, you know, other people besides just me that are doing this great work and talk too. So that's been fun.
Cool.
That's cool. So, you know, some of the questions we like to ask towards the second half of the interview are more introspective questions. And so if you could go back 5 or 10 years and give yourself some advice, what advice would you tell yourself?
What advice? Chill. No. Don't try to do it all. Yeah. Advice. What would advice would I give myself? Probably just that, you know, like, which I work well under pressure and I work well doing lots of things at one time. But I think that, you know, in the beginning, you know, getting my master's and I had a little bitty one at the time and, you know, just taking it easy. You know, just I think you can't do everything. I always tell people that when they come to Van Meter is just remember that you don't have to do everything at one time. You know, this is 7 years of work and you just take on one thing at a time. So that would probably be it. You know, just don't forget the small things, too. Don't forget to unplug once in a while.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. We were just talking about that when before you got on and just, like, how we're both just ready to turn it off for a couple of days. And, you know, I was telling Todd he's going to get sick because he's been just going since, like, August 1st. And so,
I know that's so important.
Yeah, he's going to turn it off.
Yeah. I think that that's the big thing, you know, just relax. And my daughter comes home. She moved in May to North Carolina, and she comes home on Tuesday. And so that is my goal. I have two big writing kind of articles due, and then I'm gonna unplug for a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Now, is this your first child away from home?
Yes, I miss her. This is Brianna.
So, yeah, so I'm sure you will unplug and just spend some time with her if she's been gone.
No, I can't even wait. And she'll like that too. She's not super, you know, She doesn't really like all that. She likes more of the, which is great. And so yeah, it will be cool. Really fun. Cool. It will be good for all of us, right?
Yeah.
So, Todd, I was thinking about this question earlier. We've asked this next question, 29 times now? We've asked it every interview, I think. And I know that what's going to happen is, like, you and I are going to be on a job interview, like, and this is going to be a question we get asked, and then we're both going to sit there like,
Yeah.
What is it?
Basically, it's that, has there ever been a time in your career when you've fallen flat on your face or made a mistake and you've really kind of learned from it?
That's
what I would say, too.
Well, like, maybe somebody that I'm not going to talk about, but no. what would it be? Let's see.
It could be something
more. You know, I think sometimes sometimes it's hard when you are the teacher librarian too with the collaboration sometimes, and you try, like, you want everybody to do such a good job, and you drop the ball then on a certain thing. And then that happened today because I had a meeting and I forgot that my cousin was supposed to come in and collaborate. But I guess it went fine. But it's hard to juggle all those balls. And so that kind of stuff, you know, I think happening, it happens not often, but, you know, you just drop the ball and embarrassed when you don't hold up your end of the bargain.
Yeah.
That's hard, though, when you're the
It happens
person.
All of us. I had one of those at the beginning of this year. I just put forth this really cruddy lesson. It was just bad. The kids smelled it, like, from the second we walked into class, and I was like, oh, this is so horrible. I apologized to them the next day. I was like, that's not what I'm about, and I can't believe that happened. And, you know, they're like, yeah, that was bad.
It's kind of funny, though, and, like, refreshing when that happens. I had a lesson like that last year, and I actually wrote about it, and I, like, stopped in the middle, and I was like, okay, this is not working. And I'm like, so help me make it work. And we, like, completely redid the lesson, and it was awesome. But I was, like, found, you know, like, when you're just talking, and then you're like, oh, my gosh, I need to stop talking because this is going very bad.
Yeah. That happens quite often in my class.
Yeah,
my kids are used to going, can we try something different? And I'm like, yeah, anybody got any ideas? Because I'm drawing a blank one here.
You're like, thank you for telling me to stop. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, what advice would you have for other librarians who are looking to move beyond from behind the counter?
Well, I think the biggest advice, there's a few things. One is to get connected. And that might even be in your own school building. You know, if you're behind the counter, then you should not be there. You should be constantly with your teachers, with your kids, in the hallway, you know, in the office, talking to your administrators, anything that you can, out talking to your parents, you know, doing stuff. And then to get connected through social media, I think, is a huge thing. And it might not mean what it does for all of us. It might mean, you know, that you are even more observing and getting things from it. I think that's a huge thing. And then just, it goes hand in hand with that, but to start collaborating, you know, see where you should never, I never sit down, you know, I never have. That's our job, is to make those connections and to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and take risks, you know, that's, I think that it's, you know, not just with the things that you're doing with the kids, but like our collection, we've genrefied our library, ditched the Dewey, you know, we're making, we have a lot of, you know, makerspace type things in our library going on. It's never quiet, but, you know, letting go of, it's not your library space, it's your communities, it's your kids. And I think letting go of some of that and just getting connected to what their needs are, the voice of the kids and what your needs are of your community is a huge thing. That's where you're going to make a difference. That's where that space is going to become the heart of the school.
And so the last question we kind of always end on is, so what's something you're really passionate about right now in education?
Just what I said. You know, we have moved to Van Meter, K-12, we're standards-based. And we are, you know, implementing all across the board, you know, studying standards-based, project-based education and moving towards, you know, learning about competency-based. And that, to see the teachers so excited and understand, like, a lot of what I do in the library is already that. You know, I look for those connections, how we can, you know, take a fairy tale unit and stretch it for 2 months, you know, all across the curricular areas. But to see the teachers embracing that and, you know, being able to, because of the way we do things at Van Meter, be innovative and be able to bring that to their kids, it's really exciting. Today was exciting, you know, the competency-based initiative that's going on in Iowa, I think is going to be really interesting for our country to, you know, look at in a year or 2 years after this work's being done. So,
cool. Well, you know, I have one more question that I was thinking about while you were talking about that is, you know, I think that when you probably came in as the librarian, you changed a lot of the way things were and had to work with changing a lot of perspectives of people over what exactly the job of the librarian was. How did you go about changing that perspective in people's minds who have such a clear image of what they think a librarian should be? And did you have a lot of pushback or a lot of fighting that you had to do a lot of the creative things that you do?
Not a lot. I mean, I got hired because they knew my personality and they knew who I was, and they wanted that change to happen, the administrators. So they embraced, you know, but when I wanted to do something, like even like when I wanted YouTube to be unblocked, you know, I went armed with what I needed, which was, you know, I got a letter from Doug Johnson actually to support why I wanted it, and it happened. But I was smart about those things that I wanted, you know, to change, but it wasn't just me, it was us as a group making that change in Van Meter, right. And that's why we've done so many great things in our school. You know, it was a collective. We were, you know, talking about that again today, about the transparency of this innovation and change, and so that was really easy. Probably the hardest part was the collaborating. The teachers weren't used to that. Mm-hmm. And even though they knew me as a mom, you know, and I subbed in the school, but that trust, you know, that they had a partner now and that the kids had somebody that they could also trust and was their partner in learning. I think those were the things that were probably the most challenging. And I have this wonderful associate who's been there for almost 20 years, and I really rocked her boat, which we laugh about now, but, you know, to see her... And, you know, you guys would love her to see where she was at and what she did, you know, when there was librarians before to what she's doing now. I mean, she's a co-teacher now a lot in the library, and she's just wonderful, and we wouldn't be able to do it without her, but we joke about that a lot. So it was a change for her.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for coming on our show today. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time and us getting to chat and learn a little bit more about you and the creative things that you're doing with the kids.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry that I was like a little shaky on the Wi-Fi. So.
No,
it all worked out.
It was perfect, yeah.
You guys are awesome. This is great what you're doing, and I really enjoy following your work too. So
cool.
Keep doing awesome things.
Well, do you want to share with our viewers how they can connect with you?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Shannon M. Miller. There's an M in the middle there. And also, you can connect with me. My email, I give out my email. Do you guys? I like when people connect with me on
Twitter. Yeah, I do. I like it.
So it's Shannon.Miller at VM, like Van Meter, VMBulldogs.com. So those are the best ways to connect with me. So...
Awesome.
Cool. Awesome.
And
thanks.
For those of you that are still listening, some great ways you can connect with us is on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ and using the hashtag EduAllStars. You can also check out the website, eduallstars.com, and check out the other 28 episodes with 28 other people in education. Or you can search us out on iTunes by searching EduAllStars with no spaces.
And Todd, I just want to kind of congratulate you just for an awesome 2013. We started this thing, but you know, in last summer, actually, yeah, I guess it was this summer. Yeah. So we've gone 29 episodes deep. We've done one a week since then, and I think they've all just gone awesome. I mean,
it has been a blast.
We need to pat ourselves on the back here. I think we did a good job.
We're going even bigger in 2014.
That's right. So
you
we wish.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely. Wish everyone a Merry Christmas. This thing is actually not going to get posted to iTunes till after Christmas. So hope you had a fantastic Christmas and that you have an awesome New Year. And we will see you in 2014 with lots more goodies. Thanks for sticking around.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.